reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again this morning, the appointed reading from John's Gospel provides a deep and profound text for us to contemplate. For the past couple of weeks, we've heard Jesus teaching his disciples in the upper room concerning their connection to him, and through him, their connection to the Father. Jesus spoke of himself as the vine, and as the branches, he said, his disciples were sustained and made fruitful by their connection to him. He spoke of his life in them and theirs in him, of their abiding in him and he in them, of their keeping, that is, of their clinging to his word, of he and the Father granting the prayers of everyone so united with them. Our text this morning continues in the same vein, except that here, Jesus isn't addressing his disciples any longer, at least not primarily. In today's gospel, Jesus is speaking to the Father. It's part of a prayer, Jesus' high priestly prayer, as it's known, a prayer in which Jesus pours out his heart to his Father not even 24 hours before he would be hanging dead on a cross. Jesus began the prayer by talking about his death. He called it his glorification because by his death he would bring eternal life to all whom the Father had given him. But if he began by praying for himself and his work, it wasn't long at all before Jesus' prayer turned to his concern for his disciples. Our text comes from this, the longest section of his prayer. But he doesn't end his prayer with this. In the final part of his high priestly prayer, Jesus prays for you. He says, "I do not ask for these my disciples only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Thus, as he was about to go out to Gethsemane, where he knew he would be arrested, abandoned by his disciples, and only a few hours later, executed on a cross at Golgotha, knowing that he was about to face all of these things, he was thinking about you and your salvation. To an extent, we're eavesdropping in this text, listening in as Jesus talks to his Father about his disciples and about you and me. But it's not rude for us to listen in. We aren't infringing on Jesus' privacy. On this occasion, unlike so many others, he didn't withdraw by himself to pray. He spoke to the Father in the hearing of his disciples, and through the Spirit's inspiration, saw that his words were recorded also for us. Surely, he intended that by overhearing his prayer, we would know of his love and of his gracious will for us. He would have us take his words here to heart, to an extent as a warning, but mostly as encouragement. He prayed, "Father, keep them in your name." Keep. The same word we heard last week as Jesus urged his disciples to hold on to and treasure his word and commandments. Here he uses this word three times, along with its synonym guard, of what he has done to this point and what he asks the Father to carry on doing for those who trust in him. But what does he mean when he says, "Holy Father, keep them in your name"? References to the Lord's name are very common in the Old Testament. They often refer to the totality of all that God is and all that he does. This may have a place here, but doesn't seem to be the primary thing Jesus has in mind. Sometimes, name was used as a synonym for God's might. The psalmist, for instance, wrote, "God, save me by your name, and vindicate me by your might." And in another psalm, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." This meaning makes sense here, that Jesus would ask his Father to use his power to guard and preserve his disciples. As he's taken from them, he asks the Father to keep them safe. Even more basically, though, when Jesus prays, "Holy Father, keep them in your name," he is praying that the Father would keep the disciples as his own, that he would preserve them in faith so that they would not be snatched away, but would continue to be his. Our Savior's prayer, then, echoes the Lord's promise, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." When Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep them in your name," he was praying for those who followed him, that they would be shielded by God's almighty power and continue to be his people. Jesus' earnest desire is that he would not lose any of those whom the Father had given to him, that the Father would preserve all those who have been baptized into his name, who have been sealed with the sign of the Holy Cross both upon their forehead and upon their heart. For Jesus didn't stop praying with his resurrection and ascension. St. Paul writes that Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And in Hebrews we read, Jesus always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. As Jesus prayed for you in the upper room before he was betrayed, so he continues today to pray for you. He prays that God would preserve you as his own. This may seem a bit of a strange prayer. If you are already the Lord's through faith, what harm could come? In truth, the worst harm possible. You could fall away from the faith. Like Judas, you could stop believing that God's love is greater than your sin. Could stop believing that Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient to make atonement for what you have done. Could stop believing that even the vile stain of your betrayal can be washed away and made white in the blood of the Lamb. For that was Judas' real problem. It wasn't simply that he had betrayed the Lord. It was that in his sorrow at the realization of his sin, he despaired. Had he looked to the Lord for mercy, as Peter did after he denied Jesus, he would have found forgiveness and grace. The example of Judas, thus, is a powerful warning that by one's own fault, by one's own most grievous fault, it is possible to turn away from the Lord and be led by Satan's lies into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. It is not without good reason that the apostle warns, "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." And yet just here is the great comfort of Jesus' prayer. Your preservation as one of God's children doesn't depend on you. Jesus prays that the Father would keep you in his name, that he would sanctify you in the truth, that he would preserve you in the faith in his word, and that he would keep you from the evil one. Jesus is concerned about your perseverance in the faith. Thus he has committed this matter to the Father as of the utmost importance. He prays that his Father would guard you from the devil and all his works and all his ways. He asks that the Father would keep you safe in his name, would preserve you as his very own son or daughter. What a wonderful encouragement to faith, to know that Jesus is even now praying to his Father for your eternal welfare, praying that you would abide in his word and continue to cling to Christ in faith. It's the reason for Jesus coming into this world is your salvation. Your salvation is why he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus is saying in the final verses of our text. For their sake, he prays, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I consecrate myself. That could also be translated, I sanctify myself. But either way, Jesus is referring to his self-sacrifice on the cross. You see, in the Old Testament, before a priest could offer a sacrifice, he would have to be consecrated. Then the priest would consecrate the sacrificial victim. Jesus, as the holy priest, offered himself as the holy sacrifice on the cross. He did it so that you, and I, and all who trust in him, may be truly holy, cleansed and redeemed with no debt to pay. Your Savior has committed you to his Father's care, to guard and keep you as his very own here on earth, until he calls you to join him in the eternal glories of heaven. It would be quite fitting to respond with Saint Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you and me, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The Lord in his mercy grant this to you all. Amen." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.